that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has fulfilled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This morning's scripture reminds me of a few things, and one in particular is the importance of everyday kind of seemingly unimportant things. How many of you feel like in order, well, I'm not gonna ask you this, I'll say it from me. I have always felt like maybe growing up and even to this point sometimes in my life, I feel like if somebody's gonna do something great for Jesus, then it has to be something earth-shaking. It has to be something to get you on TV. It has to be something that is, people are gonna write books about, and they're gonna, you have to be Billy Graham, or you have to be Mother Teresa, bless you, or you have to be somebody who's doing these amazing, huge, earth-shaking things. And then what I keep being reminded of is when I hear, when I receive messages from God, and I don't mean like words in my ear or anything like that, but when I feel assured that God is telling me something, when I feel comforted, or when I feel like, hey, this is what God is calling me to do, it always seems to happen when I'm doing something really normal, right? I can't tell you how many times I've felt an assurance or heard or felt like I've been given what I needed for a sermon while I was mowing the grass, right? Or maybe you experienced this while you're washing dishes or vacuuming the floor or, cleaning the litter box even. I don't know. Whatever it is that you do that you think is, it's just not that big of a deal. Or I'm cooking, I'm stirring that pot, making the cookies, whatever it is. There's this thing, this concept in Latino culture, and it's called cotidio, okay? And it's kind of out of that Latin word quotidian, which means everyday small things. And those quotidian things are those things that you do every day. Maybe that's making your bed. Maybe that's sweeping the floor. I don't do either of those things every day. But whatever it is, brushing your teeth, praying, reading your Bible, those things that you do every day that you think are really just, it's just everyday stuff. It doesn't mean anything. Reading a story with your child before bedtime, right? We as parents can get really wrapped up in, all right, now I got to read that same book about that same thing over and over and over again, right? And yet, I have a hunch that what the kids are going to remember is reading stories before bedtime, right? The really frustrating thing is to find out the things that your child doesn't remember as they get older, right? We went up for vacation, for a short little vacation, we went up to like Gatlinburg, and we said, oh yeah, we're going to go to this place. I've never been there. I'm like, yes, you have. No, I haven't. Over and over again, no, I haven't. She doesn't remember, and it was only like 2 years ago, you know? But she doesn't remember any of that stuff. She doesn't remember the things we spent a lot of money on. And she remembers the little things that are repeated over and over and over again, right? Why are the kids able to recite the creed? Because they've been downstairs in Kingdom Kids doing it. Why do we remember the Lord's Prayer? Because we've done it over and over again. And sometimes maybe you zone out in the middle and you forget where you are. Like, it happens. And yet, it's very meaningful, right? We never tire of eating our dinner, right? Well, I do it every day. Yeah, I don't want to miss it either, right? And so there's this idea that we have because of our movies and our books, and we all been told, well, I don't want to speak for every generation, but my generation, when we were growing up, we were told, oh, you can do anything. You're really smart, and you're this, and you're that, and the other. And so we've been told we can do all these amazing things. And then we look around the world, we say, well, that guy's doing something much better than I am, something fancier than I am. What about her? Wow, look what she's doing, you know? And then we're confronted with the story of Mary and Elizabeth. Two women who, by the way, in their time, couldn't inherit property, couldn't testify in court, couldn't hold down jobs, couldn't do contracts, none of that stuff that the big important men did, right? And yet, they meet together, and between those two, God is present and Christ is present. Literally, Christ is present physically in Mary's womb, right? And God is present, the Holy Spirit is present in that they are given messages to proclaim to one another, right? This is both simultaneously the least exciting story and the most exciting story. It's two pregnant women sitting together and talking. That happens all the time, right? And yet, Christ is present. And yet, Christ gives them messages. God gives them messages. The Holy Spirit gives them messages to give to one another. Notice here, Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed are you among women. Right? The baby in my womb leapt with joy. Imagine the excitement, right? Her husband hasn't spoken in, 5 months. Now that may be a good thing, okay? The ladies may agree. He hasn't spoken in a long time. And it's weird stuff going on in the house of Zechariah, right? She is getting on in years, as they tell us. Now, we don't know what that means, but we know that it's old enough that she's probably not supposed to be having any more babies. And she hasn't had any. And they're both sad about it. And the Lord comes to Zechariah and says, hey, your wife's going to have a baby. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. And so he doesn't get to say anything for 9 months. And this wonderful, wonderful message that we have here. She's thinking, what am I going to do? I'm too old to be having babies, and now we're going to have a little one, and we've been told that he's going to be special, and he's going to knock down kingdoms, and he's going to do this. And then Mary shows up and tells her, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant too. Guess who's the dad? Right? And in that moment, they both prophesy, right? She says, blessed are you among all women, for you have believed the message, right? The promise that God has given to you. And then Mary goes ahead and prophesies. Now notice, the first two big prophecies in the New Testament are from whom? Pregnant ladies, yeah. One of whom is very young. One of whom is with her aunt because she's worried that the people are going to run her out of town because she's pregnant and she's not married. And God speaks through them. And the words that Mary says, do you ever paid attention to those words that Mary says? My goodness, Mary's prophecy here is really interesting. She says, we love the song, right? The Magnificat. You ever hear anybody sing it? It's beautiful, right? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Beautiful. He's looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And then we all kind of want to stop. Verse 1 is enough, right? Because then Mary starts meddling. Mary starts saying what is being revealed to her by the Holy Spirit. And what is being revealed to Mary by the Holy Spirit is not a Christmas carol. Because the Christmas carols are happy and bouncy and stuff, right? The Christmas carols are about clear midnights and silent nights and all that, not about scattering the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. Not about bringing down the powerful from their thrones or lifting up the lowly and filling the hungry with good things and sending the rich empty away. You see, we don't know exactly where Mary is this God's message through Mary? Is this what Mary feels God saying to her through this everyday, right? She is literally sharing all of her body with the Son of God at this moment, right? And that has to make some sort of connection, right? Those of you ladies who have had children, right? It's got to be something special. I haven't had that experience, obviously. But there has to be a special connection between you and that child, right? That you feel differently from everything else, from everyone else. Because you've literally shared everything that you take into your body, you're sharing with that small little life. And Mary is sharing that with God's Son. And she comes out with this really amazing song. Her first song is, Lord, we're going to tear some stuff up. You're going to cast the mighty from their thrones, and you're going to send the poor or the rich empty away, and you're going to feed the poor people. This is like the Ramones singing a Christmas carol, right? This is taking the regular order and turning it upside down. This isn't, hey, let's give you a turkey once a year on Christmas and let you starve the rest of the year. This is, Mary says, this baby is going to turn the world upside down. The people who think they've got it all have nothing. The people who think they know everything know nothing, right? Where are the religious leaders in this story? Somewhere else. Looking at scrolls, trying to figure out what God's saying. Maybe they're looking for the Messiah. And meanwhile, where is the Messiah? With two ladies sitting down over a cup of coffee and talking about their babies. That's where the Lord is. Zechariah is our good example of who the religious leaders are. What's he doing? Not much, because he's used to talking. He's used to everybody listening, and he can't talk. And yet, Mary, who we don't hear saying much else, is giving this wonderful message. I want you to think, if this is what Mary has been given from God to say while she's carrying his child, what is it? How can we live into that world? When we look around us and we see, well, it doesn't really look like that right now, right? The powerful are still on their thrones. The hungry are still hungry. And the rich are still full. What does it mean for us? How can we live into that kingdom that Mary proclaims? A kingdom that says it's not about all the stuff that you've accumulated. It's about who's with you. It's about who loves you. About who do you belong to. How do we live into that? Well, I think she would have... It's very funny. I don't know if John the Baptist was listening. We talked about his message last week, right? He certainly knew Jesus was there. But then later he says, if you've got two coats, give one away. If you've got too much to eat, you have to feed your neighbor, right? John the Baptist says, hey, we're going to make this happen. And it doesn't work out too well for him. But yet, he inspires, right? Some of his disciples go on to be Jesus' disciples. And they follow the one who leads to life. What if, for Christmas this year, instead of focusing on all the trappings and all the prettiness and all the trees and the songs and all that, which, by the way, I love, okay, we all do. What if we focused on showing, on making Mary's blessing come true? What if we unscattered our thoughts that are in our hearts? You ever felt so proud of all the things that you know that you just don't listen to what somebody else has to say? I really found myself in that verse, in verse 51, that God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. I find myself reading a theological text or somebody's post online, and I'm already ready not to listen to them because they said a word wrong. Or I'm already ready not to listen to them because I know something about their background, and I think I know more than they do. Now that's, for one, it's not a very kind way to live. And two, my thoughts are scattered because I'm too proud, because I think too highly of myself. Mary doesn't have that option, does she? She's basically been sent off to boarding school so that everybody won't see that she's pregnant, right? She's the kid, she's the girl who, while you were in, you know, high school, who was gone for several months and nobody really knew why, but they started whispering behind their hands about it, right? That's Mary. And Mary is given the vision of what the kingdom looks like. A kingdom where it's not about how much money you have, how many cars you have, how much power you have, but instead it's about, are you following Christ? Are you loving one another? In Mary, there's a fancy theological term for this. Mary is what's called the God-bearer. Okay, there's a Greek term for that called theotokos. Okay? It means that you're bearing God, bearing Christ. Mary, very literally, we can understand how she's that, right? She's carrying Christ in her womb. But for Christmas this year, what if we all were little God bearers? What if everywhere that we went, we spread God's love? What if everywhere that we went, in humility and in kindness and in love, we shared what we have and we blessed others? Because we can give that message, not in haughtiness, not in power, not in strength, not in beating people over the head, right? Bibles get really big and they can be really heavy and they can be used as weapons. But not in that way. But in the way of love and of kindness, of elevating those who are hungry, sending away the ones who have too much. I've enjoyed rediscovering this Mary who's ready to overturn the social order. I love the idea that Jesus' mom is kind of bad. We're not bad like cool, right? She's like, yeah, I don't care that I come from nowhere. I don't care that I'm young. I don't care that I'm a woman. I don't care. Guess who has God's son, right? God, time and time again, chooses the unexpected. The unexpected city, the unexpected young woman, the unexpected people. What is God choosing you for? And if you're not feeling God choosing you to go and to do and to say something, maybe we find ourselves like I did in verse 51 to 54. Maybe we're too haughty. Maybe we're too rich. Maybe we're too powerful. How can we give up some of that, right? Who's our example? Christ. What did Christ do? Gave up all of what it meant to be God in order to live as one of us, to be born as a powerless baby, right? Because he's not just dependent on Mary for those 9 months, but he's dependent on Mary as the baby and as a young child because he's just like every other kid, and they don't know anything, right? This is a wonderful, I hope, that as you hear Mary's song of praise again, the Magnificat, that we might be ready to magnify God, we might be ready to magnify the Lord. And if that means giving up some of our power, then let's do it. If that means pulling down somebody off of their throne, let's do it. If that means feeding the hungry, absolutely, let's do it. So that we can be following the one who spoke to these two women in the middle of nowhere in the everyday. Don't be so focused on everything having to be perfect. Be ready to hear God's voice at the sink, in the garage, at the bedside. Amen?